Okay, let's unpack this. Have you ever found yourself wondering if there's maybe a secret pathway, a faster, more effective way to truly recover from injuries, or maybe even just profoundly optimize your body's natural, innate healing capabilities?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a common question.
Well, today we're not just scratching the surface, we're diving deep. We've got this stack of fascinating sources that promises to offer exactly that.
Indeed. Our mission today is really to cut through the sometimes confusing noise around healing
Right.
and explore these powerful, kind of cutting-edge agents and strategies. They're gaining significant attention, not just scientifically, but well, they're showing remarkable real-world results. So
Okay.
we'll be extracting the most important nuggets of knowledge from everything you've shared with us. We're talking everything from revolutionary peptide therapies to those foundational, often overlooked lifestyle changes, things that really underpin all genuine recovery.
This deep dive was brought to you by InfinityPeptide.com. We'll tell you a bit more about them and how they support health journeys toward the end of our discussion. So, at its core, healing. It isn't just about passively waiting, is it?
Not at all.
It's about actively understanding and, enhancing your body's profound ability to repair itself.
Exactly.
So today we're going to illuminate how these peptide therapies, especially when combined with comprehensive synergistic strategies, can potentially be a real game changer for musculoskeletal healing, gut health, and, ultimately your overall well-being.
Yeah, and the material we've looked at paints a pretty compelling picture here. These aren't just like theoretical concepts or things for the distant future.
Right.
We're talking millions of people already reporting astounding results, experiencing significant breakthroughs in their recovery and health,
Wow.
even while the big human studies are still catching up in that traditional research pipeline.
Yeah, that's interesting.
What's truly fascinating here is this blend. You've got novel, cutting-edge biological approaches mixed with timeless, fundamental principles of health. Stuff that's always been essential for, optimal human function.
Okay, so let's start right at the beginning then. We hear this term peptides thrown around a lot now.
Definitely.
But for many people, it still sounds quite, well, scientific, maybe a bit intimidating. So, what exactly are these peptides that are generating so much excitement, and why are they becoming such a focal point for healing and longevity?
Right. So at their most basic level, peptides are really just small linear chains of amino acids.
Okay, amino acids are the building blocks of proteins.
Exactly. You got it.
Yeah.
So if you think of a protein as this complex, fully built structure, a peptide is like a much smaller, precisely sequenced segment of those blocks.
Like a specific instruction.
Almost, yeah, like a very specific instruction set or maybe a key phrase within the body's vast biological language. And what's absolutely crucial to get is that your body doesn't see these as foreign invaders. It naturally produces thousands of different types of peptides every single day. They act like these highly specific chemical messengers or signals within your system.
Running the show behind the scenes.
Pretty much, yeah. Orchestrating countless biological processes. So when we administer these peptides externally, especially via injection for those systemic benefits, what we're fundamentally doing isn't introducing something totally new. It's more like we're intensely amplifying or maybe correcting a signal that's already there, but perhaps weakened or misdirected or just insufficient.
So, like turning up the volume.
That's a great analogy. Exactly. Like turning up the volume on a critical, but maybe faint internal communication channel.
I like that. It makes it much more accessible. And when we talk about this field, a name that often pops up is Dr. Seeds, sometimes called the godfather of peptide therapy. What's his take on why they're so significant?
Yeah, Dr. Seeds is definitely a key figure, widely recognized as the godfather, you're right. And he puts it really clearly. He describes these peptides as powerful chemical messengers. And then he says something profound, like, this is like the human communication. This is the language of the human body.
Wow. That really lands.
It does, right? It perfectly encapsulates their intrinsic foundational role. It highlights that we're trying to work with the body's own intelligence, not override it.
Okay, that brings up a really critical question then, especially for those of us more familiar with traditional medicine.
Sure.
This is where it gets really interesting. If these peptides are described as having drug-like strength, how do they actually stack up against conventional pharmaceutical drugs? Particularly when you think about side effects.
Right.
Because usually, when you hear powerful effects, you kind of brace yourself for a long list of potential downsides.
That's a totally valid question. And honestly, it points to one of the core advantages, one of the most exciting claims about peptide therapies.
Okay.
The literature and a lot of anecdotal evidence suggests that peptides are the closest things that we have to drug-like strength without the nasty side effects that often come with conventional pharmaceuticals.
Without the nasty side effects. Why is that?
Well, the fundamental reason for this significantly lower side effect profile seems to be rooted in their natural origin and biological recognition.
Ah, because the body knows them already.
Exactly. Unlike many pharmacological drugs, which are often synthetic or foreign compounds, mm-hmm. peptides are recognized by our biological systems because they are, quite literally, natural components of our own physiology. Your body understands their language.
Okay.
So we're not introducing some alien chemical that it has to figure out how to metabolize and maybe reject. We're essentially just amplifying the body's existing communication network.
Makes sense.
And that inherent familiarity allows for a much cleaner interaction, which explains their generally favorable safety profile.
It really is an unusual situation, though, isn't it? And it sparks a lot of discussion. Mm-hmm. The sources we looked at readily acknowledge that despite, you know, the limited number of large-scale human studies compared to traditional drugs.
Right. The double-blind, placebo-controlled stuff takes time.
Exactly. But despite that, millions of people are reporting amazing results with peptide therapies for healing all sorts of various issues. It feels like the real-world impact is kind of outpacing the formal research. How should we think about that?
That's precisely the challenge and maybe the opportunity in this space right now. There's this strong, undeniable anecdotal evidence base, a significant real-world impact that's just hard to ignore.
Yeah.
And while the scientific community absolutely continues its rigorous process, those studies are vital for long-term validation, no question.
Sure.
The sheer volume of positive user experiences really suggests there's something genuinely powerful going on here.
So for this deep dive, our main focus with these peptides will be on their effects on musculoskeletal injuries.
Okay.
You know, repairing tissues like tendons, ligaments, cartilage, and also their really remarkable abilities in improving gut health. That's an area where certain peptides like BPC-157 really shine.
Got it. Musculoskeletal and gut health.
Primarily, yes. It's about being informed and understanding the landscape as it continues to evolve pretty rapidly. And when we get practical, how are these typically administered for the healing benefits we're discussing today? It sounds like injections are common, but you mentioned oral forms too.
Yeah, so for the systemic healing benefits, meaning affecting the whole body, like healing that ankle or shoulder from the inside out, subcutaneous injections just under the skin are indeed the most common method. They're generally considered most effective because they ensure direct absorption into the bloodstream.
Okay.
But you're right. Certain peptides or specific oral formulations of them are designed or found to be better for more targeted effects.
Like the gut you mentioned.
Exactly. An oral peptide would be definitely better for direct gut healing because it acts right there in the digestive tract, whereas the injectable form gives you those broader systemic effects. We'll definitely dig into that more with BPC-157.
All right, let's jump into the specifics then. Let's meet some of these compounds. When you look into healing peptides, one name just comes up constantly as a cornerstone, BPC-157.
Mm-hmm.
Often called the body protection complex, sometimes the gastric juice powerhouse. What makes BPC-157 so central to this whole conversation about accelerated healing?
BPC-157, which stands for body protection complex 157, is really quite remarkable. Firstly, because it's not some synthetic invention, it's actually a naturally occurring peptide fragment found right in human gastric juices.
In our stomachs. Wow.
Yeah. And its research history is also impressively long and extensive. Studies go back as early as the 1990s.
Oh, okay. So it's not brand new on the scene.
Not at all. This long history makes it arguably the most well-researched peptide in this whole space, which gives it a really strong foundational credibility. And its functions are incredibly multifaceted. That's why it has such a wide range of healing applications.
Multifaceted. Okay. Yeah. So what are some of those core functions that make it so effective for different kinds of injuries or conditions? I keep hearing terms like angiogenesis and growth factors.
Precisely. BPC-157 is deeply involved in several critical processes for repair and regeneration. First, it powerfully promotes angiogenesis, the development of brand new blood vessels from existing ones. So think of your injured tissue like a construction zone.
Okay.
Angiogenesis means new highways are rapidly built directly to that site. This ensures essential oxygen, nutrients, healing compounds. The actual building blocks for repair can rush in much faster.
So it speeds up the supply chain for recovery.
Perfectly put. Dramatically speeds it up. Secondly, it robustly stimulates various growth factors.
Okay.
These are basically specialized proteins acting as signals to encourage cells to multiply, differentiate, and just generally regenerate tissue. They're telling cells what to do to fix the damage.
Got it.
And thirdly, and this is really interesting, it modulates the inflammatory response.
Modulates, meaning it adjusts it.
Exactly. The term modulate is key. It means BPC-157 can intelligently adjust inflammation up or down as the body needs.
Yeah.
But in the context of injuries and chronic conditions, it almost invariably works to lower excessive chronic inflammation, which is often detrimental to healing and can really prolong pain. It helps fine-tune the body's inflammatory dial, you could say.
And I definitely remember our sources highlighting this crucial link between BPC-157 and neuroinflammation, even tying it to gut health and cognitive function. Can you walk us through that connection? It sounds like it goes way beyond just a physical injury.
That's a super important point, and it really shows the holistic impact of BPC-157. It's been shown to positively impact various neurotransmitter systems.
In the brain.
Yes, significantly reducing neuroinflammation, that's inflammation within the brain and nervous system.
Yeah.
This is incredibly significant because, well, many people deal with less than optimal gut health.
Right? For sure.
And there's this well-established connection, the gut-brain axis. Poor gut health, like dysbiosis or a leaky gut, can lead to systemic inflammation that actually crosses the blood-brain barrier, which then contributes to that neuroinflammation. And that can manifest as issues like brain fog, poor attention, irritability, just impaired cognitive ability overall.
So BPC helps the gut, which in turn helps the brain.
Precisely. Given BPC-157's pristine ability, as the sources put it, to improve gut health, actually repairing and fortifying the gut lining, it simultaneously addresses this upstream problem.
Wow.
By healing the gut, it reduces that systemic inflammatory load that impacts the brain. So it contributes to broader neurological and cognitive well-being. It's this dual action that makes it so highly recommended for anyone with an autoimmune disease where gut issues are almost always a factor. It's hitting a root cause, not just a symptom.
So to recap, its main fame is for systemic musculoskeletal healing and that profound gut health improvement, but its effects kind of ripple outwards.
Exactly. Primary fame. Systemic tissue healing muscles, tendons, ligaments, bones, and restoring gut integrity.
Yeah.
But its broad-spectrum regenerative properties mean its versatility extends much further.
Like what else?
Well, various GI issues beyond just the lining, aiding dental health, think gum tissue repair, post-extraction healing.
Interesting.
Accelerating skin healing, even showing promise in reducing scar tissue and helping recovery from burns.
Yeah.
It's pretty versatile.
Okay. And administration, you mentioned oral versus injection earlier.
Right. So if your main goal is targeted gut healing, the oral version is definitely better. It acts directly in the digestive tract.
Makes sense.
But for those broad, systemic, musculoskeletal benefits healing, that ankle, shoulder, knee from the inside out, subcutaneous injections are generally recommended for the best absorption and distribution throughout the body.
And dosing for the injections?
Typically, you can range from a low of maybe 250 micrograms up to 1 milligram, which is 1,000 micrograms, taken once daily.
Okay. That brings up a practical point about usage. Is this something you take continuously, or is there like a cycling protocol to keep it effective?
Excellent question. Cycling is really common and important with many peptides to maintain effectiveness and avoid receptor fatigue.
Right.
For BPC-157, there's a general consensus around a cycling concept. A common approach is using it for about 3 to 4 months on,
okay,
then taking a month or two off, and then resuming if you still need it.
Why the break?
That break allows your body's receptors to basically reset and resensitize. So when you reintroduce the peptide, it remains maximally effective. But the exact timing, you know, can be adjusted based on how severe the injury is, your progress, your individual response. It's about listening to your body.
Got it. Okay, moving beyond BPC-157, many people serious about accelerating healing talk about stacking TB-500 with it, like a dynamic duo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very common and effective stack.
So what exactly is TB-500 and why is it considered such a powerful regenerative partner, especially with BPC-157?
TB-500 is another incredibly interesting peptide. And yes, it truly shines when combined with BPC-157. So TB-500 is actually a synthetic version of a fragment of a naturally occurring peptide called thymosin beta-4.
Thymosin beta-4, where's that found?
It's found in pretty much all human cells and fluids. But there are high concentrations of the thymus gland as part of your immune system.
Okay.
And while it has immune roles, TB-500 itself has been extensively researched for its really profound regenerative properties,
I see.
particularly its success in wound healing across all sorts of tissue types.
So it overlaps with BPC-157 in some ways, but has its own unique thing.
Precisely. TP-500 does share many similarities with BPC-157. It also upregulates healing processes, stimulates growth factors, promotes that angiogenesis, those new blood vessel highways,
right,
and modulates the immune response, all contributing to a pro-healing environment. However, there's a powerful, distinct differentiator, which is why it's so often stacked with BPC-157 for that synergistic effect. It has a much stronger cell migratory effect.
Cell migratory effect. What does that mean practically for healing faster, especially with bad injuries?
Okay, imagine your body's repair cells, the fibroblasts, immune cells, all the little construction workers. Normally, they're just kind of wandering around. Well, when an injury happens, they need to get to the site fast. TP-500 acts like this incredibly powerful GPS signal. It guides these repair cells directly and rapidly to the exact site of injury.
Like an emergency response team?
Exactly. Converging on the hotspot.
Yeah.
This significantly speeds up the initial stages of repair by ensuring a rapid deployment of those critical healing resources. This accelerated cell migration is a huge deal, especially with more severe injuries where, you know, time is critical.
Makes sense. Anything else it does?
Yeah. It also enhances stem cell differentiation, meaning it helps your body's versatile stem cells turn into the specific cell types needed for that particular tissue repair, muscle, tendon, maybe even nerve tissue.
Wow.
And like BPC-157, it also helps reduce neural inflammation. So because of this potency and the synergy, it's considered an excellent second peptide to add, especially since, let's face it, peptides are an investment in your health.
Right. Given its potency, what are the dosing guidelines for TP-500, and how does that stacking with BPC-157 usually work? I think I heard something called the Wolverine healing cycle.
Yeah, the dosing for TP-500 is generally a bit more robust than BPC-157. It typically ranges from 500 micrograms up to 2 milligrams, that's 2,000 micrograms per day.
Okay, higher dose.
Yeah, a wider range. As for stacking, that Wolverine healing cycle concept has definitely gained popularity.
Referencing the X-Men character.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Referencing his famous almost instant regeneration. This cycle usually involves higher doses of both TP-500 and BPC-157. Often at a ratio of about 4-to-1, or maybe 2-to-1, TP-500 to BPC-157.
Why such high doses?
Well, the insight behind this more aggressive approach isn't just more is better. It's about trying to hit a critical mass, maybe a threshold, where the combined regenerative forces of both peptides trigger an almost exponential acceleration of your body's repair mechanisms, really pushing recovery into overdrive. It's designed for maximum impact on significant injuries.
Gotcha. And the cycling for TP-500, is it the same as BPC-157 or different because it's more potent?
There's a notable difference, yeah. Primarily due to TP-500's potency and more specialized action. While BPC-157 can sometimes be run year-round for things like chronic inflammation or gut maintenance,
right,
TP-500 is generally not recommended for continuous long-term use like that. The recommendation for TP-500 is usually a maximum of 4 months on.
Okay.
Followed by a mandatory minimum of a 2-month period completely off.
Mandatory break.
Mandatory break, yeah. It's generally advised to save TP-500 specifically for when you have those acute or chronic injuries that need focused intensive attention, rather than using it continuously for general well-being.
So BPC is the base. TP-500 is the booster for injuries.
That's a great way to think about it. BPC-157 as your fundamental healing base, your daily health tune-up maybe, and TP-500 is the powerful targeted accelerant for acute injuries, a specialized tool for when you really need that regenerative surge.
All right, so we've got BPC-157 as the foundational player, the orchestrator, TP-500 as the potent accelerant, the rapid response team. But to really unlock the deepest levels of healing, especially for broader revitalization, our sources point to a third category, often called the fountain of youth component, growth hormone peptides. How do these fit into this powerful peptide triage?
Right. This is where we really broaden the scope beyond just injury repair, moving towards overall body optimization and regeneration. Growth hormone peptides, specifically what we call growth hormone secretagogues, are unique in how they work.
Secretagogues meaning they cause secretion.
Exactly. They don't introduce external or exogenous growth hormone into your body. And that's a really crucial distinction.
Why? What's the issue with external GH?
Well, introducing synthetic growth hormone can potentially come with long-term issues, things like insulin resistance, carpal tunnel syndrome, Flutterbatt retention, swelling, various inflammatory problems down the line.
Okay, not ideal.
Not ideal. Instead, these secretagogue peptides signal your pituitary gland, the master gland in your brain, to release your body's own natural growth hormone. And it does it in a pulsatile, physiologically natural way.
So it's working with your body's systems.
Precisely. It's a significantly safer, more harmonious, and sustainable approach. Just letting your body do what it's designed to do, but more effectively.
And I remember you mentioning a really important synergy with BPC 157 here. How do those two work together?
Ah, yes. This synergy is an absolute game changer. It's a critical reason why a comprehensive stack is so powerful. BPC 157 has this well-documented, fascinating effect. It actually increases the receptor site density for growth hormone throughout your body.
Receptor site density, like more docking stations for the growth hormone.
Perfect analogy. If growth hormone is the key unlocking beneficial processes, BPC 157 is like adding more high-quality locks or making the existing locks more receptive to that key.
So BPC makes the growth hormone work better?
Essentially, yes. It means that by having BPC 157 present in your system, you're going to get more out of your growth hormone, whether it's naturally produced or stimulated by a secretagogue.
What?
So if you are using growth hormone peptides, BPC 157 amplifies their effect, leading to a more profound impact on muscle repair, fat metabolism, sleep quality, overall regeneration. The whole package.
That really reinforces that stacking order you mentioned.
It does. BPC 157 first, the indispensable base,
mm-hmm.
then TB500 as the targeted add-on for specific injuries needing that rapid cell migration, and finally, adding growth hormone peptides to achieve the most powerful peptide triage for a complete systemic healing and revitalization protocol.
Okay, so we're building this incredibly powerful stack. What are some of the specific growth hormone peptides, the secretagogues that people use, and how are they typically used?
Sure. Among the more popular and effective ones, there's sermorelin. Sermorelin is what's called a GHRH analog.
GHRH.
Growth hormone releasing hormone. So sermorelin mimics the natural signals from your brain that tell the pituitary to release its stored growth hormones, like a well-designed key for that pituitary lock.
Got it. And dosing.
A typical dosing for sermorelin might be around 500 micrograms, usually taken twice a day. And often people follow a 5 days on, 2 days off protocol.
Why they days off?
To help maintain the pituitary gland's sensitivity to the signal, preventing it from getting overloaded or desensitized over time.
Okay. Any others?
Another significant one is tesamorelin. What's really interesting here is that tesamorelin is actually already an FDA-approved drug.
Oh, really? For what?
Specifically for treating lipodystrophy in AIDS patients. That's a condition with abnormal fat distribution. And it's highly effective clinically at reducing that deep visceral abdominal fat.
But it's used more broadly now.
Yes, beyond that specific use. In the anti-aging and optimization world, tesamorelin is considered a real game changer for optimizing natural GH levels and specifically, quite dramatically, decreasing stubborn belly fat. It's potent and well-researched.
And I've definitely heard CJC 1295 and epamorelin mentioned together a lot in this space.
They were a very popular combo.
Or I think I heard something about an FDA ban recently. Can you clarify that?
Yes. That's absolutely crucial and timely information. Listeners really need to be aware of this. While CJC 1295 and epamorelin were, for a long time, very common and highly effective GH secretagogues, especially combined.
What was the typical combo dose?
Usually CJC 1295 at about 100 micrograms and epamorelin at 150 micrograms, often taken together twice a day, same 5 on, 2 off schedule.
Okay. But now?
But now they have, in fact, quite recently been added to the FDA ban list.
Wow. So you can't get them anymore.
It means they are no longer legally compounded or distributed in the U.S. for general use. It really highlights how dynamic and evolving the regulatory landscape is for peptides.
Well,
and why it's so important to stay informed and work with knowledgeable practitioners who are up to date on these changes.
Good to know. Okay, so beyond just speeding up injury healing, these GH peptides get called the fountain of youth. What are the broader benefits that earn them that kind of title?
Yeah, the fountain of youth moniker isn't just hype, honestly. It's quite appropriate. Beyond their direct role in enhancing cellular repair and healing,
mm-hmm.
the optimized levels of your own natural growth hormone, prompted by these peptides, offer this cascade of systemic benefits. They powerfully promote lean muscle growth.
Okay.
They significantly increase fat loss by improving your body's ability to mobilize and burn stored fat. And crucially, they help protect existing muscle mass during fat loss periods.
Which is super important as we age, right?
Absolutely critical for maintaining strength and metabolism.
Yeah.
But the benefits go even further. They can dramatically improve sleep quality, deeper, more restorative sleep cycles.
Nice.
They bolster overall immunity, making your body more resilient. And they notably enhance cognitive function. Better focus, memory, overall mental clarity.
So it really is about overall optimization and vitality.
Fundamentally, yes.
Yeah.
Far beyond just injury recovery. It contributes to true anti-aging effects at a cellular level. That's why there's such a powerful tool in that whole anti-aging and health optimization toolkit.
Okay, so we've really explored the peptide revolution, how powerful these chemical messengers can be, like enhancing the body's own healing language.
Mm-hmm.
But as you've kind of emphasized throughout this deep dive, optimizing health and healing is truly holistic, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's never just one thing.
So what else can we do beyond the peptides to really amplify and optimize healing, especially if we're thinking about those broader systemic factors? Let's start with a pharmaceutical aid that might surprise some people, low-dose naltrexone, or LDN.
Right. LDN is a fascinating and, I think, often underutilized tool,
mm-hmm.
particularly for people dealing with underlying inflammatory conditions that can really hinder healing.
So naltrexone, isn't that used for addiction recovery?
It is, yes. Naltrexone itself is FDA approved at much higher doses, typically 50 milligrams or more, for helping individuals recovering from alcohol or opiate addiction. But LDN, low-dose naltrexone, is used at a significantly lower dose.
How low?
We're talking roughly a tenth of the standard dose,
uh-huh.
maybe 1.5 milligrams to 4.5 milligrams typically. And at this low dose, it functions very differently, leveraging distinct physiological pathways.
Okay, so what does it do at that low dose? How is it relevant for healing?
At this low dose, LDN shows these really powerful anti-inflammatory effects and immune system modulating properties.
Mm.
It subtly interacts with opioid receptors in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Which paradoxically at these low doses leads to an upregulation of your body's natural endorphins, those feel-good pain-relieving compounds.
Interesting.
And it also helps regulate and rebalance the body's immune response.
Mm.
This can lead to a significant reduction in chronic systemic inflammation.
Which you said is a roadblock to healing.
A huge roadblock. Chronic inflammation is this silent but potent inhibitor of healing from any injury or illness. So LDN is highly recommended for individuals who aren't just healing a physical injury, but maybe also grappling with an autoimmune disease.
Yeah.
Oh, things like Hashimoto's, rheumatoid arthritis, Crohn's, MS, or even conditions like fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue syndrome, which often have inflammatory components.
Right.
These underlying inflammatory issues can just flat out prevent optimal recovery, even from simple injuries. LDN basically helps create a more favorable internal environment for repair work.
Okay. And you need a prescription for this.
Yes, that's important. LDN does require a prescription. So it's definitely a conversation to have with a knowledgeable healthcare provider who understands its use.
Got it. Okay, moving on to more local treatments. If you have a specific acute injury that needs targeted attention, what else can you do right there to amplify healing? Platelet-rich plasma, PRP, comes up a lot.
PRP is a fantastic, highly effective option for targeted local healing. And it's definitely not new. It's been around for decades.
Really? Decades?
Oh, yeah. Which makes it a really well-established therapy. There aren't really efficacy issues when it's done properly. Its power lies in leveraging your body's own healing capabilities.
How does it work?
Well, the procedure itself is pretty straightforward. They draw a small amount of your blood, just like a regular blood test.
Okay.
Then they spin that blood down in a special centrifuge. This isolates and concentrates the platelets and growth factors, the really powerful healing components naturally in your blood.
So it's concentrating your own healing stuff.
Exactly. This platelet-rich plasma is then precisely injected directly into the injured area, whether that's a damaged joint, a strained tendon, a ligament tear.
It sounds like it could be used for a lot more than just sports injuries.
Oh, it truly does.
Mm-hmm.
PRP's versatility is remarkable. Yes, it's used widely for musculoskeletal issues,
yeah.
chronic joint pain in knees, shoulders, hips, all kinds of tendonitis, ligament sprains, muscle tears.
Mm.
But applications go way beyond that into aesthetics and even sexual health.
Really? Like what?
Well, it's used for facial aesthetics, skin rejuvenation, stimulating collagen for a more youthful look. It's used for hair growth, especially pattern baldness, by stimulating dormant hair follicles.
Wow.
And in sexual health, there are procedures like the P shot for men and the O shot for women, using PRP to improve sexual function and sensation.
That's incredible versatility.
It really speaks to the power of those concentrated growth factors. So while peptides offer those systemic body-wide benefits,
right.
PRP provides additional and highly targeted healing right at the primary injury site. It creates this intense, localized healing response that can really help take recovery to the next level.
What's the ballpark cost for something like that?
It varies, of course. But typically a series of maybe three injections might run somewhere around $1,500, so it's an investment, but one that can significantly speed up and enhance that local tissue repair.
Okay. And what about even more advanced stuff like tissue replacement or stem cell therapy? That sounds like the absolute cutting edge for really severe injuries.
Yeah, tissue replacement and especially stem cell therapy.
Yeah.
They are indeed an awesome viable option for more severe persistent injuries or for people looking for the absolute maximum regenerative potential available right now.
But I sense a but.
But it's crucial to acknowledge these significant financial investment. It is very expensive, very pricey. So for those who are willing and able to make that substantial financial commitment, the absolute paramount recommendation is find a local, licensed healthcare practitioner who has impeccable reviews and extensive proven experience specifically in these advanced regenerative therapies. You really want a specialist.
Okay.
That being said, honestly, for the vast majority of people, a powerful peptide cycle like we've discussed may be combined with targeted PRP for the main injury.
Mm-hmm.
That combination is likely to be sufficient and highly effective, achieving substantial, lasting healing without that extreme cost burden of stem cells. It's about finding the right approach for your needs and resources.
Okay, that makes sense. So if those higher-end investments aren't feasible right now, or maybe you just want to combine approaches for a really comprehensive strategy, what about the more traditional hands-on therapies, physical therapy and chiropractic care? They seem more accessible, foundational.
Absolutely. And they are incredibly valuable foundational parts of a holistic healing journey. And yes, they offer significantly less price compared to those advanced treatments.
Like how much less?
Well, even without insurance, a session might be somewhere between $50 to $80. And the frequency can be flexible based on your needs and budget.
So what's the focus of physical therapy typically?
A good physical therapist, a PT, will meticulously focus on assessing and addressing muscle imbalances. They identify compensatory patterns that might be contributing to your pain or dysfunction.
Right.
And then they can provide you with a tailored set of at-home corrective exercises. They operate on this really important concept of the kinetic chain.
Kinetic chain, meaning everything is connected.
Exactly. Your whole body is a single, synchronized, functioning unit. So muscle imbalances or stiffness in one area, even somewhere seemingly far from your pain, like a tight hip affecting your knee or a weak core impacting your shoulder, that can significantly influence joint pain, tendonitis, or overall movement. The key here is empowerment. Doing those exercises consistently, daily, even just 10 minutes a day in the morning, can make a huge difference long term.
Okay. And how does chiropractic care fit in? Their focus seems more on the spine, right?
Traditionally, yes. Chiropractic care primarily works with the spine. But many modern chiropractors also have extensive knowledge and practical experience with extremities, shoulders, hips, knees, ankles, the works.
Okay.
Their core philosophy often revolves around proper spinal alignment being crucial for optimal nervous system function. And that nervous system impacts everything, including your body's ability to heal.
So the goal is better alignment for better recovery.
Pretty much. Helping put your body into a position of better recovery by addressing misalignments or subluxations in the spine and other joints. This can potentially alleviate nerve interference, improve joint mobility, reduce muscle tension, allowing your natural healing mechanisms to work more efficiently.
Makes sense.
As with any practitioner, the advice is find a chiropractor whose approach gels with you, someone who listens and works collaboratively with you. These manual therapies offer fantastic foundational support that really complements any peptide or regenerative stuff you might be doing.
Now, what about things we can do entirely at home? Stuff that really empowers the listener to take healing into their own hands without needing appointments for everything. I've heard amazing things about the knees over toes protocol.
KOT, yes.
And then simpler tools like foam rolling and floss bands. Let's start with knees over toes. What's the deal there?
The knees over toes, or KOT protocol, founded by Ben Patrick, is truly very unconventional in its approach to joint health and athletic performance. It really challenges a lot of traditional PT thinking.
Unconventional how?
Well, it involves exercises that intentionally strengthen the knee and surrounding tissues while the knee is tracking forward over the toes, something often discouraged in traditional rehab. But it's done progressively and carefully.
And does it work?
For many people, it's a proven game changer. I can personally vouch for the dramatic improvements I've seen and felt in jumping ability, overall performance, and just profound knee stability using the system. Their online platform is excellent, too.
What do you get with that?
For around $50 a month, it's not just exercises. You get a personal coach, structured programs tailored to your level, and invaluable video feedback to make sure you're doing things right and progressing safely.
So it's not just for healing current injuries. It sounds like it has a preventative focus too.
Precisely. That's its unique selling proposition and maybe its greatest long-term benefit. While it definitely has protocols for rehabbing existing injuries, the core philosophy is intensely focused on preventing injury in the future, building this robust, bulletproof strength from the ground up.
How?
By systematically strengthening your knees, ankles, hips, low back through these unconventional movements, increasing flexibility, strength, and resilience and ranges of motion often ignored by standard training.
So you build a more injury-resistant body.
Exactly. Enhancing joint durability and physical longevity. It's a phenomenal investment in long-term joint health. For anyone with knee pain, low back issues, or just wanting unparalleled joint resilience, the recommendation is try for at least a couple months to really feel the effects.
Okay. What about something even more accessible, maybe less structured? Foam rolling or using a lacrosse ball. They're often recommended, but sometimes they just feel like torture. How do you make them actually effective?
They can feel intense, especially at first. But they are fantastic, cheap investments. A good foam roller is maybe 10, 20.
So what are they actually doing?
They're tools for self-myofascial release. Basically, self-massage for your muscles and the connective tissue, the fascia, around them. They improve circulation, increase tissue elasticity, and help break down muscle adhesions, those knots and taut bands.
And that helps even if the knot isn't right where the pain is.
Absolutely. It's surprising how often tight muscles far from the injury site, like those tight hip flexors impacting knee pain, or shoulder issues stemming from upper back tightness, contribute significantly to the problem.
Right, the kinetic chain again.
Exactly. By consistently releasing tension and improving blood flow in these related areas, you can often see a noticeable improvement in joint pain, tendonitis, mobility. There are tons of great online videos for guidance, or a PT can give you specific protocols.
And the lacrosse ball.
The lacrosse ball is great because it's smaller and harder. It lets you target specific, harder to reach, or more stubborn spots. Think piriformis deep in the glute, those deep glute muscles themselves, or the tricky upper back scapular area where a roller might be too broad.
Okay. And finally, floss bands. They look kind of intense, wrapping a rubber band super tight around a joint. What's the magic there? How do they help healing?
Floss bands do look striking, and yeah, they require a bit of courage initially, but they're incredibly effective and often offer immediate, noticeable benefits. They're basically big, thick rubber bands you wrap extremely tight around a joint.
Like above and below the knee.
Yeah, maybe one above, one below the knee, or around an elbow or ankle. The immediate impact you often feel is a dramatic increase in pain-free range of motion in that joint.
Immediately.
It happens for a couple of key reasons. Firstly, by temporarily restricting blood flow and then releasing it, you get this significant surge in circulation to the area upon release. It's kind of like a dual, kind of like blood flow restriction training.
Which is good for healing.
Yeah. BFR itself is known to enhance muscle growth and healing. This fresh blood brings oxygen and nutrients. Secondly, the intense compression temporarily impinges or mobilizes the tendons, ligaments, fascia around the joint. This allows you to move through ranges of motion that were previously painful or restricted because of stiffness or adhesions. It helps mobilize tissues, break up minor scar tissue, effectively flossing the joint.
Interesting.
For a cheap investment of a couple of bucks, floss bands are an amazing tool to have for immediate mobility improvement and aiding that localized healing process.
Okay, we've covered some really advanced and specific healing tools, peptides, PRP, KOT, floss bands. But as you said, none of them work optimally, maybe not at all, without the foundational pillars being solid.
Absolutely critical. They're the bedrock.
So let's talk lifestyle, starting with one of the biggest, most insidious inhibitors of healing. Stress. How profoundly does chronic stress really impact our ability to heal?
Profoundly. Stress is not just mental. It's a powerful physiological antagonist to healing. It will derail your healing, and honestly, in many cases, it can flat out prevent you from healing effectively.
Why? What's the mechanism?
The main culprit is chronically elevated cortisol, your body's primary stress hormone. When cortisol is consistently high from psychological pressure, emotional strain, even physiological stress like poor sleep, it shifts your body into a perpetual fight or flight state. And in that state, your body prioritizes immediate survival over long-term repair and regeneration.
So healing gets put on the back burner.
Exactly. High cortisol actively suppresses immune function, inhibits tissue repair processes, and can increase inflammation. All completely counterproductive to healing. So implementing effective stress management isn't just nice, it's a phenomenal investment directly into your physical recovery.
Okay, so what are some practical, actionable techniques listeners can try to shift out of that stressed state?
There's so many great options. The key is finding what resonates with you and doing it consistently. Breathwork is a huge favorite for many.
Like deep breathing.
Yeah, simple diaphragmatic breathing, just 5 or 10 minutes. It directly stimulates your vagus nerve, lowers heart rate, drops cortisol almost instantly, shifts you from fight or flight to that pro-healing rest and digest state.
What else?
Other excellent choices. Drawing, creative outlets, journaling to get anxieties out of your head, dedicated meditation practices, mindfulness exercise, even just using one of the many guided meditations or stress reduction apps.
Any tips for integrating it?
Yeah, a really effective tip is to incorporate your chosen technique, maybe breath work, into your bedtime routine.
Ah, kill two birds with one stone.
Exactly. Reduces the day's stress and prepares your body and mind for quality sleep, setting the stage for that crucial overnight repair.
Speaking of sleep, often the first thing to go when life gets busy, but absolutely critical for recovery, right? What's the non-negotiable amount, and what are your top tips for mastering quality sleep?
Cannot emphasize this enough. 7 to 9 hours of quality sleep is mandatory, not optional, not negotiable for optimal healing and performance.
Seven to nine.
Yeah, listen to your body for your sweet spot in that range, but consistently under 7 hours will compromise recovery. And the single most powerful thing you can do for your body's internal clock, your circadian rhythm.
What's that?
Sleep by a schedule. Go to bed and wake up at the exact same time 7 days a week, weekends included.
Even weekends? Really?
Especially weekends. Sleeping off schedule, like staying up late Friday and sleeping in Saturday, sends confusing signals. It disrupts your internal clock and negatively impacts sleep quality for days afterward. Consistency is absolute king here.
Okay, consistent schedule. Makes sense biologically. What about the sleep environment itself? What can we control there?
Optimizing the environment is huge for deep restorative sleep.
Okay.
First, dim lights and cut screen time well before bed. Maybe set an alarm for 8 p.m. as a cue to start winding down.
Okay.
Turn off bright overhead lights, dim others. Avoid those blue light screens, phones, tablets, computers. If you need light, use low flux or red incandescent bulbs. Blue light is a major suppressor of melatonin.
Melatonin, the sleep hormone.
Exactly. Needed to initiate and sustain deep sleep. Second, once in the bedroom, aim for complete darkness, 100% black.
How do you achieve that?
True blackout curtains cover all device LEDs, even tiny ones. Wear a comfy eye mask if you need to. Even small amounts of light can mess with your sleep architecture.
Temperature is another big one I hear about.
Paramount. You got to cool it off. Lowering your room temp significantly improves sleep quality. It helps your core body temperature drop, which is a key sleep signal.
What's the ideal range?
Generally considered 65, 68 degrees Celsius, that's 18, 20 degrees C.
Huh?
Some, like me, prefer it even cooler, maybe 61 degrees Fahrenheit, 16 degrees C. If you can't cool the whole house, cooling pads or special mattresses for the bed itself can work wonders.
Okay. And beyond the environment, what about daily habits? Things like alcohol, caffeine. They're so common.
Yeah, habits matter.
Yeah.
First, develop a strong bed association. Your mind links your bed with activities. If you spend lots of time in bed, not sleeping, lounging, working, watching TV, your body gets used to the bed being an active place, making it harder to switch off when you actually want to sleep. Respect the bed is primarily for sleep and intimacy.
Makes sense. And substances.
Alcohol.
If you're serious about healing, honestly, there's no room for alcohol. Research shows even a single drink significantly decreases sleep quality. It disrupts REM sleep, makes sleep more fragmented. It's just detrimental to recovery.
Okay. And caffeine, the morning ritual for so many.
Caffeine needs a cutoff time. The rule of thumb is stop all caffeine intake about 10 hours prior to your bedtime.
10 hours. Wow. Yeah. So if you aim for a 10 p.m. bedtime, your last coffee, tea, whatever, should be no later than noon or 1 p.m.
Why so early?
Because even if you can fall asleep after having caffeine later, it significantly disrupts your sleep architecture. Those deep, restorative REM stages crucial for physical repair and cognitive function get compromised. You might sleep, but the quality isn't there.
Got it. Quality over just duration. Finally, let's talk fuel for healing. Nutrition and supplements.
Yeah.
How does diet fundamentally impact healing and how we respond to peptides and everything else? And what about key supplements?
Reducing systemic inflammation through diet is absolutely paramount. It will directly improve the outcome of the peptides and the outcome of your body's ability to heal.
How so?
Chronic inflammation, often fueled by processed foods, sugars, unhealthy fats. It acts like this constant drag on your body's repair systems.
Mm-hmm.
An anti-inflammatory diet, rich in whole foods, lean proteins, healthy fats, tons of fruits and veggies.
Mm-hmm.
While it might seem restrictive, it can dramatically accelerate recovery. Even if it's not sustainable for you forever, committing to a more anti-inflammatory diet for a focused period, say 3 months while you're healing,
right,
can lead to significantly faster, more complete results. It creates that internal environment where healing can actually flourish.
Okay. And specific supplements to support that? Any standouts?
Hands down, probably the most powerful anti-inflammatory supplements you can reliably add are a high-quality curcumin and resveratrol supplement.
Curcumin from turmeric.
Exactly. The active compound in turmeric. Potent anti-inflammatory antioxidant. And resveratrol, found in things like grapes and berries, is another powerful antioxidant with anti-inflammatory effects.
Yeah.
It also activates pathways linked to longevity and cell repair.
And they work well together.
Very well. Taken together, they form a very powerful anti-inflammatory combination, working synergistically to dampen that systemic inflammation and support cellular health.
Any dosing considerations?
Yeah. For acute injuries, curcumin, especially, can often be dosed higher for more immediate effect.
Yeah.
Diarrhea is usually a sign you might need to back off the dose slightly. But together, they really help put out those internal fires that hinder recovery, amplifying all the other strategies we've discussed. Hashtag outro.
So what does this all mean for you, for the listener, on your journey to optimal health and recovery?
Wow, we've covered an incredible amount of ground today.
I really have.
Everything from the intricate world of powerful peptides, BBC-157, TB-500, growth hormone peptides, to essential local treatments like PRP for targeted repair.
Mm-hmm.
And even those empowering at-home strategies like knees over toes, simple foam rolling, floss bands.
Yeah.
And crucially, we kept coming back to those non-negotiable pillars.
Mm-hmm.
Mastering stress, getting quality sleep, and adopting that anti-inflammatory nutrition approach.
This deep dive really just underscores that optimizing your body's healing is not, it's not a single magic bullet. It's a comprehensive, multifaceted journey.
It's about understanding the symphony of your biology and giving it the right cues, the optimal environment, to perform at its absolute peak. Knowledge is most valuable when it's understood and applied, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And this holistic approach hopefully provides you with a comprehensive, actionable roadmap for recovery, yes, but also for long-term sustained health.
Okay, here's a final thought to mull over. If your body possesses its own innate language for healing, and these peptides are like precise, powerful words or even whole phrases in that language, how much more fluent, how much more effective could your body become in self-repair by embracing not just these advanced messengers, but also all these foundational, comprehensive lifestyle strategies we talked about today? It's really about unlocking your body's full regenerative potential. This deep dive was brought to you by InfinityPeptide.com. You can find more information about the exciting world of peptide therapy and comprehensive healing strategies over there. Thank you so much for joining us on the deep dive.